You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
We are down to the second last installment of our series called Live to Tell. Last week, if you were here, we've talked about us as Christians demonstrating the gospel, that God has created us for His workmanship. In fact, we said that He has already prepared the good works to which we are going to walk into. Okay, so that is gospel demonstration. But we also said that, you know what, it should not end there with us Christians demonstrating the love of God to our neighbors. We have to declare or proclaim or preach the gospel. Amen? So that is what we're going to talk about here today. We're going to talk about the declaration of the gospel, the proclamation of the gospel. And I want you to understand this, like what we said last week, the preaching of the gospel is not reserved to the clergy. It involves every single one of us. So today we're going to look at the story of Philip the evangelist. And what we're going to look into here is Acts chapter 8 verses 4 to 8. This is the account of Philip. And after which, we're going to jump straight to Acts chapter 8 verses 26 to 40. Okay, here's what you're going to find out, and perhaps this could be an outline for us. If you look at Acts chapter 8, verse 48, you'd come to understand that this was a time for Philip to do public evangelism. The second one, in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 40, it is actually the private evangelism that Philip did. So he was able to do both, public evangelism and private evangelism. Now, the immediate context of the story that we have here was the stoning of Stephen. So if you look at this in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it says here, and Saul approved of his execution. The very writer of the epistles, okay, at this time, he was not converted yet. He was not a Christian yet. Okay, he was not yet birthed again in the Spirit. And he was the one who gave the stamp of approval. Go ahead and kill the Christians. Okay, he gave the stamp of approval. And look at this one. And there arose on that day, look at this one, a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So I want you to use your imagination for a while. They were like gathering corporately, just like what we're doing here. But there arose a great persecution. A persecution that would basically put their life in danger. So because of that, people scattered throughout the regions of, look at this one, of Judea and Samaria. Okay, so the key word here is the word scattered. Okay, the word scattered. So because of persecution, people began scattering. These are just some. I'm sharing this to you because I want you to understand this. Our calling as a campus church would enable us to what? To go and be scattered through the nations of the world. So we might get scattered not because of persecution. We might get scattered because of God's calling for our church. I hope you're getting the picture that it is not an accident why you are part of this church community. As much as this is the story of Philip, this has the potential to be your story as well. Now look at this one. In chapter 8, verse 1, this is pretty interesting because it says here, Saul approved of his execution, and there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Look at this one. That's in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Let's try to backtrack a little bit, okay, seven chapters prior to this. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Okay, it says here, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you will be my, look at this one, witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria. Catch it? As early as chapter 1, verse 8, okay, the Lord already told them, you're going to be going to what? Jerusalem is given, but you're going to be going to Judea and Samaria. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, because of persecution, they were in Judea and Samaria. Now, sometimes you don't know how God works in our life. Okay, we could be thinking, all right, we will be going to Samaria and Judea, perhaps in 3 decades' time. But sometimes God allows this persecution to happen, at least for them to go to Judea and Samaria. It is part of the sovereign plan of the Lord. Now, there's one place remaining there. It says here, and to the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 8, verse 26, my friends. Okay, Judea, Samaria. The eunuch here is the first Gentile convert. As early as Acts chapter 8, we are already seeing how God was working in the lives of His people. At the end of the day, God will do what He ought to do. God will do what He has planned in eternity past to do. The question here is this one. Are you willing to be part of what He is doing in the cities and the nations of the world? Let's look at the first one, the public evangelism of Philip. It says here in Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Look at this one. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. This is a persecution not in the form of just mockery. This is a persecution that involves life and limbs. When they were being persecuted, they were not sulking about this. They were not holding their heads low about this. But in fact, if they were persecuted, they can't stay in Jerusalem. Wherever God brought them or wherever they go, wherever they run to, they start preaching the gospel. At the end of the day, it gives us a picture. What you inwardly believe, you publicly confess. If you, like Philip, really embrace the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot hold it into you. Kung ikaw po totoong Kristiyano, talagang mapapapreach ka. Yun lang po ang ibig sabihin nun. In verse 5, it says here, now look at this one. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the gospel to them. Is this something that's normal? This is abnormal. It's one thing for a disciple to go to Judea and preach to Judeans. It's one thing for the disciples to go in the outskirts of Jerusalem and preach to Jewish people. But it's so unlikely for someone to go to Samaria, a Jewish believer, and preach to Samaritans. You know why? Because Jewish people and Samaritans are like oil and water. They are immiscible. You just can't put them together. They have an animosity toward each other. If you are truly regenerated, if you're truly converted for that matter, the gospel will change not just our perspective, the gospel will change our heart. And here comes Philip preaching to a group of people that he ought not to be preaching to, at least in their Jewish culture. You shouldn't be associating yourselves with a Samaritan. You remember John chapter 4, okay, when Jesus was with a Samaritan woman, okay, that was so against culture for that matter. It is the same thing with this one. Verse 6 says here, and the crowds, look at this one, with one accord. Okay, we get a picture here that yes, praise God for Philip, but at the end of the day, this is through the power of the Holy Spirit. With one accord, paid attention to what was being said by Philip. This was public evangelism. When they heard him, gospel declaration, and saw the signs that he did, gospel demonstration. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them. Many were paralyzed or lame were healed. People started believing. People started confessing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The result is in Acts chapter 8, verse 8. It says here, so there was so much joy in the city. You want this city to be full of joy? Then start preaching the gospel. Akala po natin, joy comes when there's material possessions and all of these things. But at the end of the day, what really brings about joy, ushers in joy and peace in our lives is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine what will happen to Bayawan, to Tanhay, to Dumaguete, to San Jose, to Amlan, to the entire region of Negros Oriental if all of us will take on the mantle, okay, the call that God has given us to preach the gospel. There will be so much joy in this region. Amen. The second one, of course, is the private evangelism. This is an interesting story for Philip. Verse 26 says here, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south of the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. It took an angel to tell Philip to go to that place. You know why? Because this is a place that's 97 kilometers away. He says here, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now look at this one. It says here, this is a desert place. From the city, he was being brought to the desert. Have you ever felt something like this? You know, you feel like God is asking you to do something, but for some strange reason, you feel like it doesn't make sense. God wants me to do this, but Lord, I feel like it doesn't make sense because I was having successful ministry here. We're having a great evangelism explosion in this area, and now you want me to go to the, of all places, desert? From ministering and preaching to a crowd, which is pretty much exciting, from a crowd to a person. If you look at that logically, it doesn't add up. Philip was in the middle of a significant reassignment. Now, I want you to understand this. Your current situation should not be viewed in isolation. Imagine if all the disciples at that time were just sulking and looking at their persecution. They were like saying, is this what Christian life is all about? That we're going to suffer hardship? We're going to suffer pain? We're going to experience hardship and pain? We're going to experience all of these things? Listen, if they viewed all of that in isolation, they wouldn't have seen the grander picture of the Lord. If your current assignment from the Lord right now doesn't make sense, you shouldn't be looking at that situation in isolation. Because at the end of the day, Philip's assignment was not for Philip, but it was for the common good. I want you to understand is if your situation right now is something that you don't understand, is something that is confusing, when it comes to advancing God's kingdom, it is more likely that God is doing that through you for the benefit of other people. Okay, for the benefit of other people. It says in verse 26, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This was how specific God was giving Philip the instructions. So the question for us is this one, does God direct ourselves? Yes, I understand that God is sovereign, that God controls everything, but does God direct our step, every single step of the way? The answer to that is an absolute yes, to the extent that we walk closely with Him. If you don't walk closely with the Lord, then perhaps that is not the notion for you. But if you know for a fact that you walk closely with the Lord, that you incline your ears to the Lord, then you know for a fact that God will direct every single step of your life. You know, Philip did not find himself in a desert by chance, but by divine appointment. There is a reason why God pulled out Philip from public evangelism, ministering to a crowd, and placed him in a desert. I want you to use your imagination. Imagine that Philip, after taking a camel ride, perhaps for 97 kilometers, only to arrive there and say, all right, Lord, great, all I see is desert. So what do you have for me here? I want you to understand, as Christians, God reigns in all our comings and goings. It was in the desert that the first Gentile convert was baptized. It was in the desert, in a desolate place, that, you know, Philip encountered this eunuch of all people from Ethiopia to the ends of the earth. How far is Jerusalem from Ethiopia? It's like Africa and Middle East. Then it says here, Acts chapter 8, verse 27, and he rose and went. Thank God he rose and went. Because if he didn't obey the nudge of the Holy Spirit to get up and go, he would have missed the chariot by like 30 minutes. Perhaps what God is telling you is to rise and go. Rise from your bed and meet someone. Meet this specific person. Before things are too late, you would have missed being part of the story of God for someone else. I pray that we will have the zeal and the passion to preach the gospel, because this is what God has called us to do. He rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. Look at this one. His assignment was in the treasury. This is a high court official. Do you believe that God can use you to preach to the kings and queens of the land? If you understand that this is not about you, you will have the audacity and the confidence that's coming from the Lord to preach to whoever God brings in the way, to preach to the people around you. It says here that this Ethiopian eunuch, and he had come to Jerusalem to what? To worship. This African man came to Jerusalem to worship. So what happened here was that, and this eunuch was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading, look at this one, ends of the earth, African man, reading of all books, friends, the prophet Isaiah. He wasn't reading Ulysses. He wasn't reading Plato. But he was reading of all books, the book of Isaiah. And we know for a fact that if you look at the book of Isaiah, these things are prophetic words that point to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now tell me, is this chance occurrence or divine appointment that God has set this up for Philip to be able to evangelize Africa, to evangelize the world? Here's what the Spirit told him in Acts chapter 8, verse 29. The Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. Because that was basically what the Spirit was telling him. Hindi po aksidente kung bakit andiyan kayo kung saan kayo ngayon. God has ordained for it, for you to open your mouth and start preaching the gospel to them. Here's what happened. In verse 30, Philip ran. I told you he ran. So Philip ran to him and heard him. Look at this one. Philip heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you're reading? Philip, knowing that this is an official, had the audacity to ask him, naiintindihan mo ba? Pabasa-basa ka. But you know, I give credits to the eunuch as well. You know why? Because of his stature, he could have said, why do you ask? He could have asked, don't you know who I am? Do you think I'm a fool or stupid that I don't understand what I'm reading? Minsan po, God works in us pagka-humble tayo. If we're willing to receive. And here's how God set this up. He was in the book of Isaiah of all chapters. He was in chapter 53. Then it says here, like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation for his life taken away from the earth? That's why Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? I'm familiar with that. That's Isaiah chapter 53. That points to the person that has caused our persecution. Divine appointment, friends. Here's what the eunuch says. How can I unless someone guides me? And here's what happened. And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. You know what's not recorded in the Bible? What's not recorded in the Bible is their conversation. Imagine if you get to have a copy, minutes of that conversation, friends. I tell you what. It would have been amazing to read or listen to how Philip sorted these things out to him. You're reading Isaiah 53, like a sheep led to its slaughter. This is who this person is. Friend, Mr. Ethiopian eunuch, sir, this is not about Isaiah. This is not about Israel. This is about a person by the name of Jesus to which I worship now. Starts talking about Isaiah 53. Question is this one, is this transcurrence or divine appointment? Pagka yung ears po natin, if our spiritual ears are so inclined as we walk closely with God, He will direct our steps. People are listening. People are more than willing to sit down. Akala mo lang hindi. Kasi ginudge mo na malamang. Akala mo hindi ka papakinggan. Akala mo hindi mo kaya kasi ginudge mo rin sarili mo. But if you understand that this is not about me, then if that's the case, I'm gonna open my mouth just like what Philip did. I don't have to look at my resources, my background. I cannot do this because I'm not like that person. Stop comparing yourself and just start opening your mouth. Start preaching the gospel. Start preaching the gospel. Eunuch said to Philip, about whom? I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? He starts asking questions. You'd realize that in the story, there are four questions. First question was asked by Philip, and the remaining three questions was asked by the Ethiopian eunuch. Here's what happened. Then Philip opened his mouth. Yun lang pala yun. Open your mouth. Yun lang yun. Open his mouth. Just step out in faith. And open your mouth. Here's what happened. And beginning with this scripture, I like that. Philip explained to him that this all leads to a man by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. At this time right here, not, of course, the Gospels were not written yet. So he was relying on the Old Testament. He was pointing here, this is the man that we are worshiping now. At the end of the day, I want you to understand this. Every single pages of your Bible, you'd come to understand that, you know, all of these things point to the Lord Jesus Christ. It points to him. That's what Philip did. And look at this one. He told him the good news about Jesus. Look at this one. When we talk to people, hindi puro blabber. Our conversations with people should always lead to Christ. This is often misquoted. This is from Francis. You know, people say, preach the gospel at all times. And when necessary, use words. People think, if I do good works, that's preaching the gospel. No! If you preach the gospel, you will really have to use words. Gospel demonstration comes with gospel declaration. You don't just do gospel demonstration and hope that person will get saved. Nobody will get saved by looking at your changed life. You will have to preach the gospel. So I don't go to people and tell people about my experience. You know what? In our church, we have the smoke machine. They have beautiful lights. They have this TV. So what do I make with the aircon? What do I make with the crowd? Preach me what I need. Preach Christ to me. Preaching the gospel always involves words. That's why it says here, open your mouth and there's no knowing what God will do in you and through you. All you have to do is open your mouth. Preach them Christ, what He has done and what He will do. And it says here, and they were going along the road and they came to some water and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" Imagine that. Imagine the conversation. It led them to water baptism, declaring that, hey, because I am now a born-again Christian, because I am now a Christian, what prevents me from being baptized? Because you told me, Philip, if I get baptized, I associate myself with the Lord Jesus Christ from now on, that I am the first Ethiopian Christian. I dedicate my life to the Lord. It says here, and he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water. Guess what, friends? Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Philip's gospel demonstration included what the eunuch ought to do after learning that Jesus Christ died for him. Then it says here, a few more things and we're going to end. And they came up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more. Look at this one. And he went on his way rejoicing. Catch that? Verse 39, gospel was preached to him. Started rejoicing. Remember a while ago, Acts chapter 8 verse 8, there was so much joy in the city. Friends, ang peace at joy can only be found in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Posible po na walang-wala ka na. Walang-wala na. Pero for some strange reason, sobrang joyful ka pa rin. Alam niyo po bakit? Kasi nasa yung gospel. Kasi alam mo for a fact what God has done in you. What God has done in your life. But Philip found himself, I love this guy. This guy is unstoppable. Philip found himself in Azotus. And look at this one. And as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns. This man just cannot shut his mouth. And realize, if you know for a fact that you hold the greatest message this world has ever known, why shut your mouth? So every town that he went through, he started what? Preaching the gospel to them. I want you to understand this, friends. Perhaps some practical things that we can do is for us to think, Lord, am I where I am only because of chance? Or you have placed me here on purpose? And I want you to understand this. It will not take long for God to answer you and tell you, you are where you are because I have placed you there and I have purposed you to be there. You have what you have because I have placed that in your life for you to use that in the advancement of God's kingdom. If you consider yourself a Christian, God has called you to engage culture and community and preach the gospel to the spheres of influence that God has for you. I hope and pray that you will incline your ears to the Lord when His Spirit tells you, rise and go. He may bring you to a desert place. Desert place could be what? I don't know. A group of friends that mock you. But nonetheless, there is an ear there who has been waiting for you to preach the gospel to them.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.